In San Francisco, an exhibition of furniture, clothing, jewelry, and other objects created in this country and abroad between the First and Second World Wars. The show reminds visitors of the glories of a design style known as Art Deco. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg was one visitor.
They've decoed the halls of San Francisco's Legion of Honor. It's streamlined central. Sleek sculptures, paintings of lolling, sensuous nudes, evening gowns that shimmer with sequins and sex appeal. You can practically see glamorous couples dancing down the corridors. You know today's stubby little Mini Cooper cars, the curvy PT Cruisers? Their style comes from Art Deco, from the 1930s, the deco days of the Chrysler Building, Golden Gate Bridge, Miami's South Beach. Clean, bold lines that pared away fuss to look modern, fast.
Many of these deco objects have a sense of movement, and this is the great age of locomotion, the ocean liners, and many of the designs pick up on this idea of speed.
Lynn Orr is coordinating curator of the Art Deco show in San Francisco. It was organized by the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. Ms. Orr pauses for a moment in front of a huge and lustrous cabinet, black lacquer, incised with slim silver lines.
This is the most beautiful piece of furniture, I think, in the world.
If anything says deco, look at that. It's sort of that pleated, shiny black. This is, if Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were a cabinet, this is the cabinet they'd be.
If I could buy one piece for our museum, this would be it.
How is it Art Deco?
Well, it combines traditional craftsmanship and mastery in a modern vocabulary.
So it brought it all into today.
Absolutely. And it suggested modernity and sleek and sexy and racy.
The cabinet was made in 1925 in France, and it starred at the, bear with me here, Exposition Internationale des Arts Décoratifs et Industriels, a huge and important international decorative arts show that opened in Paris in 1925 and really put the new modern style on the map. In 6 months, some 16 million people came to see the show and left thrilled by what they'd seen. In organizing the exposition, the French had an agenda. France was trying to confirm its monopoly on upscale design. They were getting a lot of competition in the 20s, especially from the Germans, who were creating some wonderful things.
One-of-a-kind objects of very high quality, and were making inroads into the French economy in luxury goods.
The 1925 Paris Exposition reasserted France's artistic brilliance, and the world of design had a new style. In those days, it was called moderne, or jazz moderne, or streamline modern. Nobody said Art Deco until the late 1960s, early 70s, when the design was resurrected and again revered. But from 1910 through 1939, Deco became the look to covet, putting an industrial sheen on traditional objects that ranged from the sublime to the ridiculous. Sublime first, an evening gown designed in France by Jean Patou in 1937, crepe covered in golden beads and fanning into folds that slink to the floor, a dress for a goddess.
Take a classical column off a Greek building and you update it with modern materials and create a completely chic, modern, elegant dress.
Sublime. Now for the ridiculous. Ridiculously utilitarian anyway, and affordable. Because once people saw Deco in ads, in the movies, everybody wanted it. In the Depression years, Deco moved from one-of-a-kind luxury items like the golden dress to mass-produced, more affordable consumer goods. There were Deco toasters, Deco cigarette lighters, space heaters, and an aluminum, steel, and rubber device designed to cut up, say, pastrami.
What you get is a meat slicer that looks like a piece of modern sculpture. The contours are very sensuous. It's really a beautiful object.
Hold the mustard for one more piece of Deco Sublime, an evening bag from 1925. Flat and rectangular, about 7 by 4 inches, made of aluminum and inscribed with a chevron pattern with insets of flat black and pleated red plastic. To me, it looks like a portable Empire State Building.
Well, that's a good way of describing it. And in America, the impact of skyscraper design was felt throughout design, durable goods, fashion, whatever. But this also speaks to the whole phenomena of the nightclub and drinking cocktails and standing in very tight, elegant dresses, smoking.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Art Deco seduced a public ready for some fun and fantasy after the terrible slaughters of World War I. The style conquered consumers for several decades. Curator Lynn Orr says it took another war to end the Deco craze.
After World War II, there was a new spirit of service and reconstruction, and it just didn't have any place for self-indulgence.
The gleam and glamour seemed frivolous, part of another age. But now, at San Francisco's Legion of Honor until July 4th, and then in Boston in September, the 300 objects in the Art Deco show look absolutely timeless. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Photos of some of the pieces in the Art Deco show are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne in Los Angeles.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington.